So I kind of want to facilitate a moment today. We get a lot of information. I mean, we're podcasting on the way to work. After service, we're getting together with friends and we're hearing more and we're Googling and we're reading and we're constantly bombarded with information. And there's certain times where we need to have an encounter, an experience, a moment. And that's what my goal is, to help curate a moment. I feel like God is up to something. And I don't know if I'm in the right room and you can let me know. Like, girl, you missed it. God wasn't saying that. But I feel like in life we find ourselves in the middle of circumstances. And sometimes those circumstances don't represent fully our potential or our future. It's just, it is what it is. We're smack dab in the middle of a moment. Maybe that's a marriage that's failing. We're in the middle of a season. Maybe that's suffering lack financially. We have goals and we have things we put on our vision board, but we can't quite realize it. We're just, it is what it is. And you know, you get to that point when you say it is what it is, when there's nothing you think you can do to fix it. That you can't accelerate it. There's not a line you can get in to pray it off. It just, it is what it is. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where a better job can't fix it. Moving counties, finding a new relationship, that any kind of play you want to make, you can't quite make. So you have no choice but to exist in these circumstances that feel like, God, it is what it is. And on this journey of life, we are progressing and doing all that we can and yet still feel powerless to change what feels unfair sometimes. And in this church, people can come every single Sunday, perfectly dressed, saying the right things, having the right motivation, and have needs that go unaddressed. That come in and still leave with pain, situations of betrayal, delayed hope, frustration, praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and not seeing any transformation. And we got to take a moment to stop. Oh, God, what are you doing? What are you up to? Speak to our hearts. Some of us on this journey has had to make a stop. So you were going and life was good and everything was just tracking. The stars were aligning. Purpose and destiny and all kinds of things. And you got to take a stop and remain in a place longer than you wanted to, and you're unsure of how to move forward now. Let me just tell you, you're not alone. If you're here in this room and something I'm saying is resonating with you, it's because you're not alone. There are other people in this room that feel the exact same way. And for the perfect Patties who are on the mountaintop, just be patient. There's some people in the room that really need help, that are drowning. That until we stop and think about the stuff in our life, we're good. We want to invite God in that space. The Bible is full of relatable occurrences that give us comfort when tomorrow looks bleak. And we know there's a good coming. We just don't know how, and we don't know when. And in these moments and in these seasons, God shows us another side of himself. He says, I will cause you to hunger, and then I'll feed you. So we get into a place where we have these deep needs, and the Lord is the one that comes. He says, I'm your provider. And now we know the Lord as provider. We find ourselves sick, and then somehow we meet God as a healer. I think God wants to show us another side of himself. We can bypass the filter of human rationale and allow the Lord to see. I'm going to tell you a story. And this is in Genesis chapter number 16. It highlights a woman. This woman is an Egyptian and she's a slave. Her name is Hagar. And Abraham and Sarah weren't able to conceive. They had this promise from God that they would be the father of many nations. But it was very difficult for her to get pregnant. And it's funny, she took matters into her own hands and decided that she was going to allow her husband to sleep with her slave so that she can get a child. And this Egyptian slave, who has very little rights, goes along with it. She slept with Abraham, and she got pregnant. Sarah wanted the right thing, but she went about it the wrong way. Hagar is in the middle of a circumstance. She was feeling some type of way, and the Bible says she started popping her neck and rolling her eyes because she thought she was something, because she was pregnant with this woman's husband's baby, and Sarah got upset with her. Sarah got upset with her servant, and she treated her harshly. She was mean to her. She afflicted her. She silenced her. She dealt with her poorly. And Hagar was so upset that she ran away. Some of us who are in situations and circumstances where we feel powerless to change, or we have no voice, where we've been silenced, or we feel afflicted, we think our only option is just to run away, to hide, to get out of here. So this woman, she found herself as a poor foreigner, pregnant by a married man, abused, undervalued, and unwanted, in uncomfortable circumstances that she didn't necessarily ask for. Anybody know what that's like? She didn't have a plan B pill back then. Sometimes the stuff happening to you has nothing to do with you. Hagar. She decides, you know what, I can't take it anymore. She runs away into the desert. She would rather be in the middle of nowhere with nothing than to have health and be warm and be mistreated. She finds herself in the middle of the wilderness. And the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 7, the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a spring of water in the wilderness. The wilderness is a lifeless and confusing place, but she's sitting near a life source. God has a message for some of you today. And the angel asked her in verse number 8, where have you come from and where are you going? He addresses her past and her future, but she's stuck somewhere in the middle. The angel tells the Hagar, a nothing and a nobody, a slave, an unwanted woman who's mistreated by her mistress. He says, go back and submit to your boss. I want you to go back home. Get out of this desert and go home. Submit to her authority. And he gives her this promise. He says, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that you will have too many to count. You'll give birth to a son and his name will be Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. And here's the whole point of why I brought this up. Is in Genesis chapter 16, verse number 13. She calls the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. God wants you to know that he sees everything happening in your life right now. He found this woman in these circumstances that she didn't ask for. Single mother, abandoned, left, trying to figure it out, pregnant. When she left her boss, she didn't go to her family. She had no place to go. What she was saying, I'd rather die than to be treated this way. And God finds her. He meets her. And not only does he speak blessing over her, he says, go back, because I have something far beyond you even imagine in store for you. I don't know who I'm talking to, but there are some broken places in your life. There are some things you are dealing with and you are wrestling with, and you are alone. You feel abandoned. You feel isolated. You have retreated. Now you go to work every day. You do everything like you've been doing. You show up and you sit at the dinner table and you participate in all life's activities, but you are somewhere in the middle of a wilderness. Your heart, your mind, your soul, because you feel like, what can I do about what I am experiencing? And God wants you to know, I see you. I see the prayers that you've prayed. I've seen the circumstances. I see and I hear. And not only that, I want to speak blessing and I want to speak promise over you. We often wonder if God actually cares. Does he hear our prayers? Will anything ever change? I want you to know, in the middle of those circumstances, he does see and he does care and he can move and he will move. He's drawing close. He spoke promise and desolation, and he gave her more than what she could have ever imagined. There's some Hagars in this room, both men and women. Can the men make some noise? You know, men, you hurt too. And you hurt even more than women do sometimes. And there are parts of you that feel alone and isolated and having to wear the weight of the world on your shoulders and have to be the leader and have to be the spiritual leader and have to do all of these things that you feel like you must do with broken pieces sometimes. The Lord wanted me to tell you that he sees your condition. He's heard your cry. If he can do it with Hagar, if he can speak life to her in a wilderness, in a deserted place, he can do the same for you. She was a single mother, abandoned by the father of her child, a foreigner far from her native land, pregnant without support, powerless, misused. And God decided to bless her beyond her imagination. He says, I'm going to use your seed. I'm going to give you so much more. Here's what I want to do. There's some people in this room, and we want to pray with you. Not only do we want to just pray, but we want to be with you in this moment. Now, this is going to take a lot of courage. It just will. Because it's far easier to sit on the top row of this bleacher and run out at the very last minute so that nobody can see you. What I love about the scripture is that the angel came and had dialogue and conversation. What are you doing? Where are you at? And this is what God is saying. If you're in this room, I want you to know, because there's some people here whose marriage is failing. Your relationship is broken. Maybe you're in the middle of a divorce. Maybe you have the realization that something is not working and you cannot fix it. I'm going to do something brave and courageous. You know what? We're going to pray with you. But we're not going to pray that your marriage gets better and that it's healed. We're going to pray that the Lord's will be done. Because let me tell you, some people, they have to go this way. You're going to say, well, why would we do that? Why would we pray for somebody to be divorced? You don't know the circumstances of somebody's relationship and how they got here. But you know what it's like to go to sleep every night and feel like you're powerless to change circumstance? We want to be with you in that. If you're here and you feel lost, you feel like, I don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. I have no plan. I'm waking up every day and letting the day lead me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I'm in the middle of a whirlwind. We want to pray with you. If you're here and you're struggling financially, we want to pray with you. If you said, I'm the one that's crying myself to sleep, asking myself the question, God, do you actually even care about me? Do you know? I remember in grad school, it was a January month, and I promise you, as surely as I'm alive, I do have a lot on my plate, and I get really busy, and I get overworked, but this was like no other, and I found that during the week, I would be washing dishes, and tears would just be falling down. Because I had so much stress and just, I was stretched and I couldn't do anything about it. I would talk, like my husband was like, what's good? Like, how are we gonna work? And it was just like, I had papers, I had deadlines, I had children. I just, life was overwhelming in that moment and I couldn't see my way out. There wasn't a worship song that could help me. There wasn't anything that could help me. I just had to be there. And I remember, it was about 11:59 and I had a paper due, and if I didn't submit this, I was going to get an F in the class, and I had to submit it on time. And I remember I started shaking all over. My whole body was shaking. And I was just so anxious. And it was so overwhelming. And I remember just crying out to the Lord, like completely letting it just break. Like, forget it. Forget it. I just, on the inside, just let it break. And I just sobbed and wept. And it was like the Lord came and was like, I see you. And I never forgot what that was like. My circumstances didn't necessarily reverse immediately. It wasn't this, you know, breakthrough that came all of a sudden. But it was the conscious thought that, God, I'm in this predicament and you're with me. That made all of the difference. Everything got handled on time. Everything I needed to do happened. My world was falling apart, but the Lord says, you know what? I'm with you. In the same way, we want to be with you. So if you're here, can we ask you to do something very bold and brave? Can you come? Our prayer counselors are going to come. But if you know I'm talking to you, I want you to come. I want you to come. I want you to fill this room with worship. Just fill it. And here's what we want. This is a no judgment zone, bro. No judgment. No judgment. If your stuff is falling apart, it's okay. But I want you to come. And if there's something that you're dealing with that we don't even know about, but you feel like, I need to come, I want you to know that God sees you. He still sees you in the bleachers. But there's something to owning what's happening in your internal world. I need God to see me. I need God to see me for a minute. Because if you're waiting for some miracle to come from on high, listen, it's here, it's right now. Broken hearts in the room. God sees you. We're going to do something else. Can you do a pat? And do something else. If everybody would just come and gather around them, out of your seats, just come on down. We want to be support. We want to be love. We want to give presence. This is why we gather. Just get close. Just pile right on in. Next to you. In your own way, just start praying for him. What we're doing is saying we're going to draw close to the things that might repel us, the things that make us afraid. Just wherever you are, just put your hand on the person's shoulder next to you. I want you to feel the warmth of their body, the presence. God sees you, and we're an extension of God's hand. He knows. you start praying for the person. Anybody touching you, any place you feel warmth, I want you to pray. You pray in your mind, you pray in your spirit, you can pray out loud. But we're praying that God sees us right where we are, and we know He does. Whatever's broken, whatever's wounded, it's okay. If your marriage is failing, if it's over and you know that you're going to divorce, you know this is the path that you have to take. We as your church family, we want to be with you. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. There's nothing to be shameful about. It's the hardest thing you will do in your life. But we thank God that He's allowed you to be in this family. If you're struggling and you don't know where your next thing is coming from, nothing to be ashamed about. Come on, just pray. Just pray. His way this way to the front. If every man in this room can make his way to the front, every male in this room, every man, just let them through. Every man, come this way. Every man in this room. We want to speak destiny and promise over you. You are mighty men of God. And we love and respect you. You're doing a good job. Even if you're failing, you're doing the best you can. We recognize and we honor who God has called each and every one of you to be. But we as women, we support you. We want you to be the best version of who God has intended for you to be. And we just speak life over you right now in the name of Jesus. We speak that the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit begins to mend the broken places in your heart and in your life. You will be great fathers. You will be great leaders. You will be great providers. You will be loyal. You will be faithful. You will hold the keys to this city. You will hold the keys to your family. You will unlock things in your children like never before. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. We promise you, you have our hearts. And we're big enough, we're strong enough as a body of people to hold each other up when things are falling apart. In the name of Jesus, every broken place. So if you're a woman, if you can just lay your hand on the next person in front of you, and every man, lay hands on every man. We want to speak blessing. We want to speak promise. These are the people that change everything. The destiny of everyone in this room is riding on the backs of these people right here at this altar. That this is God's design for the man to lead. We thank God for each and every one of you. We just speak over addiction right now. We break it in the name of Jesus. We speak over porn addiction right now in the name of Jesus. We speak over broken and we speak over secrets right now. For every affair, for every relationship that's out of turn, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that your healing power digs deep, that you mend every broken part of any man at this altar, Lord. I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit overwhelms them to overflowing, Lord, that you give them a greater measure of insight into their own lives, into their own dark places. We thank you, Lord, for uprooting those things that have been sown into them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for reconciliation of families. I pray for children that belong to any of these men, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you cover them with the power of your blood. I pray, Lord, that you give us the energy to arise and do everything that you've called us to. Help us to be the people that you need us to be. I thank you for putting the load on the shoulders of these men, Lord. I thank you for giving them a new day and a fresh start. I thank you, God, that you are the one who sees the end from the beginning and that you are not distracted by our missteps. You are not distracted by our frailty, Lord, but that you, the God who sees, the God who sees, the God who heals, the God who delivers, the God who restores, the God who redeems, the God who raises, the God who saves, the God who provides, the God that moves, the God that sends, the God, we pray that you redeem the lives of these your men. Take them to places that they never thought they'd go. I thank you for supernatural financial provision, Lord. I thank you for new businesses. I thank you for new leadership. I thank you, God, that you are teaching them your integrity. You're teaching them your ways. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless your name. I want you to know that God sees you. He sees your pain. Speak into the man next to you. See, because we're trying to redo and trying to do something new and we don't have a blueprint. Some of us don't know what to do because nobody ever taught us. So man to man, speak into them. as your strong warriors. And thank you for a new day, a new start. Teach us how to do our hard work, Lord. We bless you, God. But you're the God of reconciliation. You're the God of redemption. I pray that you redeem the lives of these, your people. Take what was meant for evil and turn it around for your good. Give us clarity. Help us to make sense of the messes of our lives. You, the God who sees us right where we are. Pull us out. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Give somebody around you a hug, please.